All right, welcome to part two, episode 11V2.
No, 12, because we're skipping 13.
Oh, yeah, so this is... Oh, yeah,
13 doesn't exist.
So this is episode 12. We're going to skip 13, so for those paying attention, you're going to look back on this.
This is a continuation. Like, we're not wearing the same clothes 2 weeks. Yeah,
we're just continuing, but we've become too long that needs to be a part two. Good conversation. I mean, it's all stuff that I think so. Not many people like, and we haven't even really technically touched on all of the things.
I don't even know if our wives know these stories.
No, well, yeah, the
they know we vent. We know we get home and we're mad about a lot of things.
Yeah, start slamming doors.
Yeah,
but these are conversations that not a lot of people get to hear about, and I think it's perfect time to just lay it out there and say what it is that went down at Myrtle Beach. Good times, bad times, and and here we are. So we left last week, part one.
Start with 17.
We finished with a little bit. Finished with 17.
Yeah,
with Pulliam winning the championship.
The juggernaut Lee Pulliam came in.
Brian was chasing him, but couldn't quite catch that rabbit. And in 2017, a lot of stuff went down. But we talked about it with Pulliam's deal. Is that where we're at today at Florence? Super frustrating. That the one time that we worked hard to get car count and we had it, why he came, because he traveled. He traveled forever to come there.
He did.
And but he came because we had the 18 at the time. We were getting 18 consecutively.
Like with ease.
Yeah. So we were getting the car count. And so he showed up. And then when it was said and done, it was time for us to get a chance to speak on Myrtle Beach Speedway and what we got going on.
And I mean, and the whole time I'm gonna, like, sorry, butt in here.
No, you're good.
Like,
raise your hand first time, but go ahead.
Jesus. Sorry, I guess I'm on restriction now. HCC Connect. Mm-hmm. Did an amazing job. Alan Smothers. Like, I touched on him with Smothers. Like, he didn't know how to react on that icebreaker at that time because he was more the bad boy as talk radio, right?
Right.
And we went to, was it Coastal Ale House?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to go there.
Yeah. But he was a great job. He did a great job.
Oh, sorry.
And then when he got Mike Neff beside him, the play-by-play guy, Neff was more immaculated with short track racing, and it was good. But that was like a time before Flow. Obviously, before Ultra Broadcasting.
Yeah,
that was was it fanschoice.tv at that time? So you were like Langley and you're one shot?
Yeah, I think so. I just remember that we were almost daily on HTC.
Yeah, and that's what, like, it plays into what we're doing now. Like, we were already thinking above and beyond at that time, 2017, where, like, you can go to I remember for a fact, local HTC channels, like, you can go to Hanley's because we played trivia at Hanley's and we looked up at the TV one time and our race was on.
Yeah.
And that was awesome.
Yeah, so 2017 rolled around, and Pulliam showed up and won the championship. You had a good year. So to go to the downside.
Well, we started Beach Madness that year, too.
Oh, yeah. Was it? Oh, yeah. Oh, well, so this will lead into that. So Brian and I, again, go back to just our nonstop love and passion for trying to make racing better every single day.
Keyword drinking.
Keyword drinking, right?
A lot of drinkers.
So I say we keep the drinking. but we sat around and we said, all right, how do we keep 32 cars? How do we get to the point where it's like every single week it's a full car count? And we sat around and we're like, man, you know, March Madness is I don't pay attention to college basketball. Brian loves basketball on the NBA side, but I don't pay attention to college basketball until March Madness.
Yep.
Once March Madness gets here, all of a sudden I'm, you know, writing down my brackets and I'm filling out this and I'm paying attention and have no clue of any of these kids or any of these teams. You know, I know my normal ones, the Villanovas and the Kentuckys, but I don't know anything that's going on. But I'm in. Like, I'm excited. So yep. Brian and I sat back and said, what is the one thing that no one knows anything about, but they get into? And it was March Madness. So we said, how can we bring in March Madness style to what we're doing? And we started talking and we came up with the concept of, all right, man, let's go head to head for five races and just keep the racing the same. Point structure never changed, but you were head to head with against a person. And during that time, you had five races, your best three.
I think you dropped one. But we were so scared, like, the seating, because I was involved at the same time as well, which, like, I thought my arm was the hardest one to come through because, obviously, the old Brian's behind the scenes.
Right.
So I'm, like, put myself against, what, like, Stuart Ricks, which is a former track champion. Like, he was amazing at the time. And I ended up with Tommy Lemons. I think Tommy bounced me out the first round or whatever, second round. But it was all the matchups that it was random draw, but the way it worked out, it got to all the drivers like, I can beat that person.
Yeah.
I mean, the very first year, I think Lucas Williams was up against Ty Gibbs.
Ty Gibbs, yeah.
And Ty was driving for Greg Marlowe at the time. And, I mean, they ran, and Lucas just straight up beat him.
Yep.
And I think there was a riding shotgun episode where Lucas said, I'm just going to look back on this and say, hey, you know, I beat that Ty Gibbs. He's going to the next level. He did.
Yep.
I mean, it was pretty awesome.
Yep. So, like, so we came up with that concept. And then we also, though, didn't quit thinking about the fans. So we had a chance to say, like, Brian, what was that website you
Challenge.
Went to? Challenge.com. So we had it set up. But the problem that you always had with that was that you had to sign up before it started. Like, you couldn't, mid-season decide, oh, this is cool.
Like, we are with I-95 Showdown now.
Yeah, like, this is cool, I'm in. Once we started, it was over. So we had a bunch of people. And actually, I think Andy Clemens's wife won year one.
She did.
Yeah.
But it was amazing, like, the very first year, because it was new to everybody. And it was just a drunken tale for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this would be cool. And we would, like, reach out to David Roberts, R.A. Brown. Like, oh, yeah, we'll do it. Luke Sorrow.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many guys that we reached out to that would run with us periodically. But the very first couple of weeks, like, oh, Jesus. Like, all these guys were here.
Yeah.
So maybe they were taking it serious as well because they think they can win their head-to-head matchup and advance to the next round. And then when we put the brackets out there on Riding Shotgun, then we saw a lot of fan support.
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of unreal. Like, okay, there's something to this. Yep. This has legs. It can go some far.
Yep. Yeah, Milliken calls, son, I mean, I can barely read a book.
He knows nothing, but he's always in tune with everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If that makes any sense, I promise you. He knows everything there is to know about it. But in his world, I know nothing.
And we also know you're watching, so we love him. But you know.
I still love, though, it might be 2017, or maybe it might be before, the driver's meeting. That one day.
Oh, yeah, jeez. Which one? Or was it the one?
The Stern one. Yeah, remember? Yeah, Weatherford was all about you. Like, oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, also, Milliken.
I get wrecked.
We were walking into the driver's meeting, and we had had an issue the week before, and Milliken told me that he's going to speak up in the driver's meeting. And as we're going in, I mean, are you ready? I'm like, I guess I'm ready as I can be. And then it got into...
Don't you feel alive? That's right.
Yeah. I mean, we got weapons. Weapons.
Weapons.
So he goes on his little speech, whatever. And then he leaves, and he goes up to, I think it was Morgan or something. He goes, I mean, your dad grew balls in there. You should have seen it.
Which I think that whole thing the week before, like, was all about the whole NASCAR invert.
Yeah, invert. Yeah.
The invert is what created the whole fiasco.
Yeah.
And I will say... In my opinion, like racing alongside them, one of the greatest rivalries racing. Now I know Milliken and y'all real whatever, but like wrecking back and forth was Matt Cox and Justin Milliken. That was one that just dates as old as time.
Oh yeah, remember when we decided one of the worst decisions we ever had at Myrtle Beach was first to the scales, to qualify. Yeah. Worst decision we ever made.
It's like we had cup teams, like cup crews, I mean, trying to
the two of them.
I heard air guns out there. What are we doing?
That was when Gene was still alive, I believe, right? I think Gene was still around back then.
Yeah, everybody wanted to park super early to get right by the scales.
They'd be on jack stands doing work. And that was one of our worst decisions. I mean, it made sense because we were trying to get people to the tech. Like, we're trying to keep the show going. But, I didn't.
I'm sitting here, the air guns out there, and, like, we're just sitting here with our DeWalt. Loose.
Yep. Yeah. So 2017 Beach Madness comes in. Worked out good for David Roberts. He's still wearing his Daytona 1 Beach Madness uniform. He loves it. He loves to flip people off.
Greatest, I would say, racing with David Roberts was always fun, especially the long races, because you're always trying to dictate pace. Track position is one thing. And maybe him and I both use too much tire trying to get in front of the other. Because when you see the 18, like, I'm going to pass him just so I can flip him off. Because we're all, like, one hand on the wheel at this point. And I would, sure enough, I would just, like, pass David and put the middle finger right out the window. And, like, a couple laps later, 18 passing me. Then moves up just to show me the middle finger. I was like, this damn guy. I swear.
Yeah, I'd be at the front stretch at the gate at Myrtle Beach Speedway trying to, like, get across. And he'd come by and flip me off. Yeah. I'm like, focus on you.
I love how he's like, I got something serious for you. Like, seriously, come here. He brings it out. Okay, David. Godly.
Yeah. But, so 2017, the Beach Madness came in. I think we talked about it jokingly a couple episodes ago now, is, the Denny Hamlin thing.
Yeah.
Like, perfect example of what we did. But it's so hard right now for us because, you know, last week or last race, we had 8 cars. We had 18 full-time, and we could get 32 to fill that bracket out. Now – we're struggling to try to find enough to call a full field, you know, day in and day out. So things have changed a little bit, but I think the concept of that Beach Madness was amazing.
Sure, 2017 was our year. Well, we said we started on 2016, but we had so many. Like, we looked at it, what more can you do with the racetrack? We had the thrill shows. We had the fairs. We had the car shows.
Right.
So we looked at it.
We had runs. We used to do those 5Ks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the 5Ks, yeah. So bring racing back.
Right.
All right, well, racing starts, and we are all firm believers. We don't put late models priority over anything else. But mostly everything behind late models has scuffed tires. You're not going to get good scuffed tires unless you have a solid late model car count.
Right.
Unless you want to reach out and run something from the West Coast. Like, if you get scuffed tires, you know, it's really good. But if they come from the West Coast or they come from up north, you don't know what you got.
Right.
Like, at least for us, we know, oh, look, that's Matt Cox's tire. That's Justin Milliken's tire. That's Sammy Arbro's tire. And we can group them that way. We have them in our scanner, so we know exactly when that barcode was ran at what particular time. So you got to build your premier division first, and I think everything falls beyond that, in which it looked like it did at Myrtle Beach.
Yeah. Which, when we got here, 2 years into being here, and you still saw Myrtle Beach tires, you're like, oh. Like, even if you were grading them, you're like, no, beat it.
Bad.
Like,
I didn't especially even, when it had RR on it. Get out of here.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't even touch it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so 2017 with the Beach Madness, I thought it was good. We had Daytona 1 with Renegade, you know, Buck Parker?
Buck Parker, yep.
Yep. He jumped on board and got a part of it, and he's still doing good stuff with Daytona 1 and his oils. I won't say anything, but
lubricants.
Yeah. But
Richard Burgess was not a fan.
but overall, I thought that concept was good, and I think it really worked out for 2017 with the Beach Madness. I mean, everyone was into it. The fans were, you know, supporting it. We had that cool banner. About mid-season, though, again, back to the roller coaster ride, we went downhill.
Yep.
2017 is when Terry passed away. Justin and Terry were leaving, and I'll never forget it. They were walking out. Actually, Justin was waiting to do one more mock run, and Terry was at the end of the trailer, and he said, "Steven, I'm telling you, I don't know if the beer's just this good or it's that cold." And he said, "Have one with me." But that was the time you were going to let me drive the 30 car. So I was going to make my first late model run. So I told him, "No, I'm good." I said, let me get through driving the 30 car real quick.
Right.
And then I'll have a beer with you. And unfortunately, no different than, you know, anyone's had issues or had things before. You look back on that and be like, man, I wish I would have had that beer with them. Because
yeah.
They left and then had their accident on the way home. Terry passed away 13 days later. So 2017 started off with that high, and then it had that major low. You know, in 2017 with Terry, and then we kind of
such a gut punch too on Friday because we set a race the very next day.
Yeah.
So it was just like a whole gloomy setting, and it really made you question, like, scheduling wise moving forward. Like, is a Friday, is that worth it? Like, is that what we put ourselves at risk? Like, people want to lay back and say, hey, maybe have a beer, whatever. But it wasn't their fault or anything. Like, somebody just blew a 4-way stop sign.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was.
Which
just,
actually, by the way, so. He also blew a 4-way stop sign with no lights on, no insurance, no license, and just left jail for Maury County.
Yep.
And was high on stuff, and he T-boned. It was one of those that Jacqueline and I talk about it all the time, that it was one of those, if you would have just hugged him for 2 more seconds,
yep.
It changes the whole, like, the timing
oh,
of
sure.
it couldn't have been any
worse.
That's
what I was saying, like, for us, like, it looks at, do you even allow Fridays? Like, what can we do differently to prevent that moving forward? Like, do you have to come down 2 days on a weekly race?
Right.
No, just make it a 1-day show.
Yeah.
So maybe you see where your Fridays are charging for practice. Why? Maybe that goes into our playing field. I mean, that's why we're doing the things that we're doing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, probably we can't prevent it. I mean, if it's bound to happen, I guess it will, unfortunately. But, right. I mean, anything that we think we can do to make it not happen, we're going to do it.
Yep. Yeah, so... So Terry, Justin also goes. So Adam, little Adam,
yep.
Justin, and Terry were all in the car. Terry unfortunately wasn't wearing a seatbelt and got tossed out. And Justin tells the story that they were on their not tablet, like where the tire temps and tire
the parameter.
Yeah,
Well, that's the temperatures.
Whatever.
I know the box.
The little box.
The rectangle box.
So Terry was on that as he passed away. So the only thing I take from that is he was doing what he loves and talking about what he loves as it all went bad. So he passes away 13 days later. Then we come out of that and had one hell of a race in his honor. Brought the 35 out there. Probably our biggest car count. I mean, that place was packed. I have a picture on the wall that every class was there to support him and to
I mean, even like Pulliam. Pulliam was one in all of us. He was family because he even changed the number to a 35 that year, you know, that weekend. And obviously he got to win. But I mean, so many different cars put 35 on it, and everybody just came in collectively because, and that started the Racing Brotherhood.
Yep.
That's what we are.
Yep. Oh, exactly. I didn't want to have to start that, but it it just sounded right, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it makes sense, like Racing Brotherhood, because when it's all said and done, that's what we're here for, because, you know, you have your followings, you have your Land Huffmans and Millingtons, you get angry at each other. But when it's all said and done, if, God forbid, someone was to pass away like Terry did, you're going to miss him just like a brother.
It puts everything in perspective. Like, for instance, I definitely don't want us to happen, but like Landon Huffman and Ryan Millington, that same night or the next morning, one or the other wakes up and hears that news, they're not going to care about what happened.
No, yeah.
They're going to pitch right in. What can we do to help?
What can we do to help him?
Yep.
Yeah, so Terry passing away in 2017 obviously was the part that definitely kicked us in the balls that year. And then going from there, we finished the year off. And then, you know, on my end, it was my brain since then has never left the 35s, you know, what can we do for Terry? And we'll lead into that for 2018. But 2017 ends, and we talked about that Lee wins the championship, which you do not.
Finish second.
I hate, you know what I actually, now that I think about that, I hate is that we know who won the 2017 championship in the late models, but we couldn't tell you. You got Chargers?
I would say Armakovich, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
That would be my go-to because he was pretty.
But we got to figure out how to get to the point where we're like, we don't just recognize the late model championship.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, you were in it, so that's a little bit, you know.
Oh yeah.
Easier to.
I'm pretty sure Armakovich probably won that.
Armakovich was pretty sporty at the beach.
Yeah.
So back then, Chargers, mini stocks, obviously the Fulfords.
I know the very last year, Matt Briggs, who still races with us, he won in 2020. Who won in 2017? Which I'm pretty good at knowing this stuff, too. Oh, well. Don't wait for me.
Yeah, we'll come back to you. But, yeah, so 2017.
David McKinnon, actually. Michael McKinnon, I think.
Oh, yeah. And McKinnon. Oh, it's a different conversation.
Michael McKinnon.
Yeah. Different conversation. I still have a hole in my wall from McKinnon. But,
oh, that's right. That's right.
But anyways... You know, 2017 definitely had its highs and its lows. Justin came back during that season at the end, and
he did.
You know, after his back stuff, and you know, made his presence known.
That's when Bob's brother Pat Donnelly is on scenes there because he's filming the videos, and I did see the in car video with Justin. I was like, why is this guy like modulating his foot with his knee? Because I remember watching that. Like, you see him in car, and he's lifting up his whole knee and just slamming it down. Like, does your ankles not work now?
Yeah. Terry and I always used to joke. I could tell when Terry was in the car and when Justin was in the car.
Yeah. I'll always pray, like, hey, I'll drive it, too.
Yeah.
Well, at that time, I'm, like, down to 130, 140 pounds. But
So we'll lead into 2018 here. So 2017... comes to an end. Lee Pulliam wins. Is there anything in the 2017?
I don't think so.
Like, really now, like, Bob has given us the place, right? Like, so as far as the stuff we talked about earlier,
but we're still doing all the shows.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like the dramas and all the BS stuff we had before. He's pretty much just said, "Hey, do it. Good luck to you guys."
Yep.
So we're now just focused on putting out a good product every single week, getting tires, getting fuel, cleaning the racetrack, which, by the way, cleaning the racetrack there was way harder than it was here, especially after, like, drift events.
We didn't touch on Myrtle Beach Drift.
Yeah, the drift events, like, cleaning up the infield at a drift event was miserable. But yeah, so Bob's pretty much given us the racetrack. We're focused on just making it, as, like, everything better. We still got the fair. Now it's annual. Like, it's happening every single time. So we got the fair, but we're also trying to build racing, because there was a time that Bob said piss on racing and said, why don't you guys just focus on the driving experience?
He wanted to go like 5 or 6 races a year at Zip.
Yeah, he told me at one point, he said, why are you stressed out about racing? He said, the driving experience, you get yelled at all the time. And we didn't get into other stuff. Like, we had some race directors we had to get rid of, and then we had to change some stuff. So that
they were good bowlers, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
7 straight.
Yeah. Boom, but I'm telling you right now, so we're telling you a bunch of stories we probably shouldn't tell you, but we haven't even told you 3/4 of them.
If you want to ask us, like, elaborate, no, we're more than happy to elaborate. Yeah,
we'll tell you all the stories. But
you come up here and you can drink a beer with us.
We're not even close to telling you all the stories. But actually, I'll tell you a story that we talked about in last episode, last week, technically, was we talked about Masters. And one of my favorite stories about Masters, for those watching Strip Club, is that when I first moved here, I had no friends. I didn't know you. I didn't know anyone. I was just so anytime I had a chance, because I knew Slay and then Nick at Masters, and so I'd go hang out with them, and I'd sit in the office, and they'd count money, and I'd go have a beer with I think that girl tried to work with us for one point. Baby. There was a girl that, like, kind of crazy, but because she worked.
Oh. Not Dawn.
No, her name was definitely Baby. But anyways, I'd go sit and drink a beer at the bar and just talk to Jacqueline on the phone, like, hey, I'm at Masters, whatever. Well, then it got to the point where I just, like once we got working and Slay started running.
And yes, by the way, that's how cool Jacqueline is. Hey, I'm at Masters Strip Club. Yeah.
Slay would come run the skid plate cars.
He would.
And so would Nick, which Nick and Joe were terrible at skid plate cars. But
they established about everybody was outside of us. What was the guy's name that helped Barnhill? He took it serious.
Oh yeah, I forget. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. But
the spotter. I mean, he brought like legit cars,
wrapped.
Yeah. I mean, they were pretty badass. Even Palm bought the taxi. The taxi would haul ass.
That taxi was getting
skid plating.
It was on
fun.
Fire at one point while I was driving it. But at one point, like, Jacqueline would call Nick or text Nick and be like, hey, we're out of ones for the fair. And she'd go to the strip club, get change, and come back.
It was almost like a nightly occurrence during the fair.
Yeah. The only story she's got is that at one point, they actually called us to see if we had ones. They were out. We got ones. we used to definitely hang out at Masters quite a bit.
But 2013, which was a weird year with Richardson, Lucas was sponsored by Masters, and I was sponsored by the Dollhouse.
Right.
So that's how instrumental they were in like everything at Myrtle Beach Field related. Yep. It actually was very weird one weekend in 2013, which we didn't talk about this in the last episode. But we're not ready with the car. It was the very first race of the season, and we got there late. And David Boehm, who was the manager of the Dollhouse, has like these half-naked girls at the racetrack, and they're just like laying on the racing experience cars, and they're just walking around the pits. And then we pull in, and they're just like laying all over the car, and like, we missed the first practice. And I'm just like, tell me, can I go practice? Because we got a race coming up, and we only had 2 rounds. So it got weird, but yeah, they were very instrumental in helping racing, because they were, passionate about it.
Yep. And anytime I went to Masters and sat in the back, so Slay at one point, we had, I think we had a little, like, not a banquet, but we had something in the back of that Masters, like.
I know, me, you, Tiffany, and Joseph went there one night, and it was weird.
Oh, yeah.
And Craig went on, yeah. Well, but a lot of weird stuff. But, Craig, but, yeah, I mean, just a lot of memories, obviously, when it comes to those.
Yeah, like I said, we haven't scratched the surface yet.
No.
We've been telling stories based on us just saying stuff, but we haven't actually dove into the other parts. So 2017 happened. Terry passed away. Lee wins the championship. And coming up, we're going to come out of this break, and we're going to get into 2018, because this is definitely turned into an episode. For sure. So 2018,
how many years did this place survive? It should have shut down years ago, so we didn't have to do this.
2020 is our final, so and then that led to 2025, so we got a lot of conversations to have. We're getting ready to roll into 2018, which is one of my favorite years race car wise, because we had a good time.
It was good. I'm glad I started halfway through,
but also Myrtle Beach had more tragedy in a short period of time than any place I've ever seen. You know, I think once Terry's situation happened, it seemed like it wouldn't stop.
Yep.
Like after that. So
we were cursed almost.
Yep. So we'll talk about all that coming up, but enjoy the break, and we'll see you on the other side of On Tap. All right. So welcome back to On Tap here in an episode that has gotten out of control a little bit as far as...
Two-parter. Twofer.
Did not know when we got to today that we'd sit here and continue this conversation, but I feel like it's a story that needed to be told anyways. It makes me feel good to get it out there. And
very kind of, fitting on Throwback Weekend.
Yeah, vent a little bit of frustrations that we had. Again, we have not given you all of the frustrations we had. We're just giving you the ones that are coming out of our mouths right now. But what we came out of 2017 with is we talked about Terry passing away and how after Terry passed away, it just became a it seemed like it was nonstop. We couldn't catch a break with unfortunate situations. We went to 2018. Andy Clemens and I decided that we would run the truck in his honor because Terry, when he passed away, was leading the points. Clay Thomas ended up winning that year. But Terry was leading the points, and when he passed away, obviously shut down operations when it came to the truck. So I got in the truck that year. Truck count was down at that point. You know, we were somewhere in the similar situation we are now, 8 to 10. Started racing, started doing well. Terry, when I got to the truck, so Andy said, hey, you know, here's the truck. I got to the truck, and Terry was methodical when it came to there was marks everywhere. All you had to do was just move a nut to a certain place, and it matched the line. Every single thing, whether it was track bar, whether it was, you know, just tightening up bolts, like everything matched somewhere. So he knew where to torque something. Everything was marked like super perfect. And it made my life easy, because I didn't know what I was doing. And so I just kept continually just doing what he had put in place. And the truck was amazing. From drop of green, first race, I was actually fortunate. One of my favorite videos I have, Andy bought a 360 camera, and Thad Moffitt, which actually, strangely, I saw him on my way home from Auburndale?
Yeah,
Auburndale. But I got to wear that Richard Petty helmet, remember the one he had of his granddad? Yeah. That was badass.
Yeah. And they had the helmet coolers and everything.
Yeah. So driving the 38 was amazing for me. And at that time, you know, I still had competition, Barry Elvis, as well as Strom was there.
And Clay was still running.
Yep. And,
Sean Gartner.
Gartner was there. Yeah.
He ran every week. Yeah.
But, Barry and I had our run in 2018, but
was that then or later on in the year?
That was later on in the year. Yeah.
Yeah. It got weird.
Yeah. But no, we started off the season trying to build the truck count, and then you and Billy got tied in.
With the 2018, the Icebreaker 2018, whatever one that Ty Gibbs won.
That would have been the Icebreaker, yeah.
I don't know, yeah. So I was still with Burgess in the 30 car, and we finished fifth or sixth, maybe sixth. And I called him that Monday. And I said, hey, I got like. We're going to do this, do that, whatever. I think it's going to be better. And he's like, you know what? Don't worry about it. Just sold it all to Big Ed.
Mm. Literally everything.
Yeah, everything.
Trailer.
Not the dually, but the trailer, pit box, which was an immaculate pit box. Yeah. Oh, my God. The car, race ready. I was like, okay. And I mean, I was not in no position to argue that.
Right, of course.
I was like, sure. Like, whatever. I mean, I'm cool with it. So I was out for a little while. And then, just sitting there idle, still doing whatever. And then Grumpy actually offered me to drive his late model the very same weekend that Billy Brewerton had the truck that Will was driving. And, well, Will's been driving all year long. Let me back up. Will was driving the truck all year long. And then the very first weekend that Grumpy said, hey, you want to hop in this non-car and go drive it? Billy said, you want to hop in this 26 truck and drive it? Like, yeah. Sure. I mean, I've been sitting here idle for half a year. I mean, I'll drive both. And then Billy offered to buy the tires for Grumpy's car and a practice set for me to drive the truck. So in Grumpy's world, But well, I was just trying to get somebody to drive it, and I was going to foot the bill, and it was a no-brainer for him. So I got to drive Billy's truck and Grumpy's car. Unfortunately, the late model race, I believe, was first that night. And, yeah, well, my old buddy Yarbrough just dive-bombing in there. And gotcha. So it was a good car. It had a 604, so we were going to be going to long run. The old Yarbrough dive-bombing in there, and Barnhill was in the middle, and I was on the outside and just, like, punted us up. So we were done, but we were pretty good in practice on long run. I was looking forward to it. I think, like 15 were done.
Maybe that's a Grumpy problem, because I drove a Grumpy car that was black and blue that I thought was pretty good too, but it did not go well.
I'm telling you, that was going to be good that night. And then actually after that race is when he reinvented the wheel on the suspension.
Right.
So when it came back, I mean, it was still good.
Probably the same car, right? The one that you want, the 9?
Yeah, the 9, yeah. It was all black body when he came back.
I'm saying that was the same one I drove at Southern National.
Miller
with the new, with the new thing. But with that, because the 9.
But a truck. I mean,
well, no, I'm back up to, I'm going to go kind of, we're bouncing around, but I'm going to give you the 9 because you had the name on the door is go back to Terry's stuff and how it just got out of control there for a minute where it seemed like every day we woke up, something bad happened.
Yep.
And we were at the fair that year, and I was in the last day of the fair, and I got Jacqueline came and banged down the door. I was with John Straits in his little office. And my niece, Mallory, was in a boating accident.
That's right.
They were on their way coming back, and she was riding with a friend's parents, and he wasn't paying attention, and they were running full throttle, and he got way too close to the edge of the waterway because they were at the St. John's River down in Jacksonville, Florida area. And she ended up taking a branch or a tree limb to the forehead, and it busted her head open. And just, I mean, traumatic brain injury, where, I mean, it was life and death every day. But we found that out that weekend. And then that, the time you're talking about when we drove the 9, everybody, got on board and started putting Mallory's name on the door.
We had Mallory Strong everywhere.
Mallory Strong. And, we were able to bring Brody up here, and, Mallory eventually, thankfully, was able to come up. But I'll tell you right now. I was there as soon as our race was over. Jacqueline and I, my mom and dad left as soon as they found out. As soon as the race was over, Jacqueline and I and the family left. And to be somewhere, so I sat in that room with her, and she had like medicines and monitors everywhere. And to sit in a room and to see a child fight for their life, you know, again, it goes back to, you know, after Terry passed away, it put it into a little bit of perspective. It's like, you know, Terry, he was only 36 years old when he passed away. That's not good. But when you see a child fight through it, and there was times like, so we'd go through the night. So finally, Brian and Jen, they'd stay at the hospital, and then they would go. I finally talked him into going to home and get some sleep. So I'd stay with her, and she was the roller coaster ride of the meters. Like, so where her heart rate would go up or brain rate would go up, and you had to calm her down, and they were coming in. So it was just a wild ride during that time.
Which that happened during the fair that year, which I there was nothing I could do, obviously.
Right.
But I only helped that – I was hoping that helped our bonding between each other and our relationship. I said, like, dude, go.
Right.
He's like, well, I missed the first fair. Like, you referenced that, too. I was like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, of course.
Like, this is our job. Like, go. Like, all your family, go. I got this. Yep. Like, this is no big deal here.
Yep. But it so that was a challenging time in 2018, and then we talked about it. 2018, obviously, we drove trucks, but 2018 was that also WC's deal?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So WC Bell, a longtime supporter of Myrtle Beach Speedway racing in general.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I know Heather Soto, but I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Kevin Ellis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ellis. Yep.
He was very instrumental in helping out.
Yeah. So WC has his Black Widow, technically, off of 4, and he is bouncing on the wall, and everyone picks the car up, moves it off the wall, and saves his life. And here he is today still racing, which blows my mind. But WC had his moment. And then
that was in practice. It was scary.
Yeah, it was super scary because you didn't know what was going on.
For all of us, like, we saw him coming off of 4 and like go to the inside wall and just ride the wall, and you see him just like
slumped over him.
Around. Like,
yep. And then that same year, once you got started, driving the 26 kind of full-time, I'd already been obviously leading the points, which whatever.
Well, okay. Well, can I talk about the first night again? So
whatever.
Drove Grumpy, Yarbrough, Barnhill, whatever, got wrecked. Mallory, Zach Rice was on the car. And also, unfortunately, Mike Cheek, Grumpy, lost his daughter years ago. Yeah. April Cheek was on another side. Now it was Mallory's strong night. And that was the very first night also I drove for Billy Brewerton in the truck. And it was the very first night that Mallory came back to the truck.
Right.
To the fact that I could outrun that 38. And I was the one to give Mallory the trophy. It was pretty good.
Fine, whatever.
No, we'll say that. Carry on, though, with your story,
please. No, it's fine. Actually, I never... God damn it. I got to figure out... So we're definitely doing the Martinsville thing, so I can... Because I, now that I think about it, I never beat you.
Mm.
I out-qualified you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I out-qualified you, but I didn't actually, like... Yeah. I didn't actually beat you.
If this tees you up to make sure that I'm racing Martinsville as well... Less, I'm all for it. Yeah, I'm ready.
So,
but yeah, that was a weird year, obviously. Yep. And then we started racing each other. But that particular night, though, when we were racing in the trucks, Jacqueline and I think Mike Cox went up top. But Mike Jacqueline was more so on the calls.
Yeah.
Mike went up there, but he was like, "Yeah, I got to be back down for tech." He had so many things going on. But the truck count went from 8 to 10 till 19 to 20.
Yeah.
Oh, like, everybody decided to show up that week, which we're grateful for.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt bad for Jacqueline because, like, so we'll go back to what Brian and I consider the greatest restart of all time.
It's good. Multiple times.
So, again, you ended up beating me. We get it. But I started on the pole.
Well, this was the next race. The first race, I think I was on the front row with Terry Moore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where the hell did I qualify?
I don't know. Wherever you normally qualify.
Yeah, but no, so we...
But the August race, which...
Yeah.
All right, so we also had another casualty, unfortunately, in the vintage race that same day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Walker.
Right, that's what I was getting at.
That was the race that we were up front.
Right.
But so, I already had one race before on the Mallory Strong night. Yep.
Yeah, so I was talking about the best restart, which... So Jacqueline and Mike were up in the tower... And Brian and I are taking off. I took off, and I was in the lead for a minute, right? Was I in the lead?
A minute or a second? Split second.
I started on the pole. But,
thousandth of a second. Yeah.
But anyways, so we go off, and Brian is doing what he does.
Well, you get me to top. At Myrtle Beach, I will say I'm pretty good at top.
But so caution comes out. Actually, red comes out, and out of nowhere, like just random. And so we're on the front stretch, and so this is a story that people love, is that we're on the front stretch, and now I'm like, you know, promoter brain is back in while sitting in the truck with a helmet on, and I'm trying to figure out what the hell is, why are we under red flag? And so I grabbed a radio. I had Dowie come over, and I grabbed his radio. I put it into to my helmet, and I said, Jacqueline, I said, what's happening? She said, we have a medical emergency in the infield. And I felt bad at that time for her because she gets stressed out when it comes to stuff.
Which
like
we
that.
Did have our paramedics in the infield.
Oh, yeah, we had the right people in the right place.
But to get the proper ambulance that you needed to, they couldn't fit in the tunnel.
Right.
So we had to open up the gate to get them in. Yeah, so every time we red flagged for a medical emergency, like we had people down there, but if they needed something that was in another truck, they had to come across the truck.
Yeah, so they had to throw the red flag. But my favorite part is... No, I definitely was leading at that time because I was in front of you because I was looking in the mirror. And I looked back and Morgan and Leanne had come to the front stretch.
She might
want to
watch this back, but okay, you're
but,
sure.
But the kids came out to the front stretch were handing out waters. And they got to you, and you waved off a water, and I didn't know that. So when they got to me, I said, did Brian take water? And they're like, no. I'm like, then I don't want water. I wanted water. I was
sure took it.
It was hot as all get up.
Mine would have helped
but I did not want any advantage that you didn't have, so I stayed away from it. But
that water is what you missed. You probably should take that water. Yeah.
So actually, no, I know I was in the lead because you did that thing where you took the bias off and cooled your right front, and I did not.
How did that make you know you were in the lead? Just because I was
I remember being in. Yeah, I remember. Anyways, we'll watch it back. I might actually play it back on the replay.
Well, you still picked the bottom again, regardless. Oh, yeah. Or I picked the top.
And
I would have picked the top.
I went super tight. Like, I was a dump truck after that.
Yeah, but, and I did. I know I pinched you off in turn one, which is kind of my thing.
No, I appreciate that.
Milliken always used to tell me, son, you ain't got to pinch everybody off. I said, well, it's not a parking lot. It is a racetrack.
Yeah.
So if I give you a lane to navigate, then you get your lane. That's all you need.
Whatever. So 2018 comes to an end, and I'm the super truck champion. No big deal. But
six races to three. Yeah. seven races to three, excuse me. I finished third, yeah.
But no, so, but again, what we were talking about earlier, coming from Terry, and then we had the all of the nonstop.
Well, it ended on a very somber tone as well.
What's that?
With Jackie Ward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it was nonstop. Like, we kept getting hitting the throat and kicked in the nuts. Is going to the final race of the year, and Jackie Ward, you know, was a staple at Myrtle Beach.
Long time supporter, no doubt.
Yep, and he was always there with his tow trucks, and he would do anything for anybody.
And sometimes multiple cars and multiple divisions.
Yep,
him and Lyle. Yeah.
Yep, and he goes out there and off of four has a Black Widow, and this one got him, and it never lifted him. And so back to Travis Powell going into turn one. And I can't remember what was his name that spotted for him. That always was like a crew member of his, kind of old guy, like a older guy. But anyways, his crew or his spotter.
I remember the guy David used to work on elevators.
But his spotter said he saw him humped over off of four, and comes down the front stretch and he never lifts. And his biggest hit I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah,
he goes into one and gets up to that red gate and just destroys the red gate. And immediately, because we know Jackie, and Jackie is one that's not going to buy the brand new Hans.
No.
He's not going to buy the brand new helmet. He's not going to buy the brand new seatbelts. He's going to just keep pushing. So immediately, as hard as he hit, we're fearful of his safety.
Just but he was also one that would hop right out and shake it off.
Oh, yeah.
No big
deal.
Because like, he's in a good mood the whole time.
He was a big dude.
Yeah.
Like, you did not want to screw with Jackie. And when you started to see what was going on, and then Lyle got over there, and just the chaos that became. But at that time, you didn't know if it was because of the crash, or, you know, like, you assumed it was because of the crash. But come to find out, he was passed away, and he actually never had a bruise from the crash.
Yep.
So when he got to the hospital, he never
had
a bruise.
Like off of four, like dead sick. Yep. Like the steering wheel. Yep. I mean, he just went up.
And it goes to that the old saying of if I gotta go, this is how I want to go.
Yeah.
So, but he got to full throttle it into turn one, and you know, sail her off into to the hopefully the heaven's gates.
But we did not continue on that day because you couldn't.
No, couldn't.
Yeah. You know, everything rolled over to the next day.
Yeah.
I still remember like it was yesterday. Everything was quiet. Like we had. Good crowd attendance, but the whole infield was packed because we had people that was racing on Saturday as well, and that was a Friday night race at Challenger, and it was like,
yeah,
you can't
because you don't. I mean, when you get into that position as a promoter, you don't know what to do.
Yeah,
you want to honor him.
Yeah,
but you know he wants to race.
Well, you think about Dan Weldon, IndyCar race.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, they put that big bonus out to start from last and come through the field, and like within the first 10 laps, there's a big wreck. And pretty much the bonus is what encouraged that, which this did not have nothing to do with that.
Of course.
But when that happens in a race early on, like you can't continue.
No. Yeah. No, it's but it puts it in the promoter's hands to figure out what does that mean, you know, because you got tire wear, laps, these guys all came in. Do you keep going? Like, when do you keep going? So, but yeah, 2018, 2000, like I said, from Terry's incident 2017, from then on, it got weird for a little while. We even had a guest for the Monster Trucks have a heart attack in the grandstands.
That's right.
During that season, so it seemed like it never ended.
But that's one event we didn't touch on. We had, yeah, you know, we did have Monster Trucks. We had Sin City stuff.
We had every version of Monster Trucks.
Yep.
We had the Grave Digger and Monster Jams all
which
the way
was
to
failed entertainment.
Traxxas and
yep, that's right.
So. Yeah, so anyways, 2018 happened, and we're going to take our final break before we finish this off with 19 and 20, because 19 and 20 will get us to where we are today. So anything left in 18 you want to talk about?
Yeah, you won a track championship with 7 starts, and I finished third with 3.
I did. But
3 starts.
The banner is in my garage.
2 wins. But you also made me start 10th on a July race that was an exhibition. Oh, yes, I do want to talk about that particular race because I won the first – actually, I was 2 for 2, and then we had an exhibition race, 4 new tires, 75 laps, and I had to start 10th even though it wasn't a points race, which is whatever. I said, okay, I'm sure – I know who said this.
Yeah.
And then I loved how I was saving tires, just riding behind, and I saw you get wrecked by Barry Ellis.
Oh, jeez.
So let's talk about that.
So, I don't know if I got.
I'm not gonna lie. I'll even like lifted my shield because I was laughing so loud. My shield was fogging up. That's what you get.
I didn't actually get wrecked by Barry Elvis. I did a little bit of that work.
Oh, you definitely. Well, yeah, you did crowd him.
Well, I was also told I was clear.
But so, in his world, he doesn't know that.
Nah, so I was told I was clear. So I came up, and all of a sudden, I'm in the fence. And then he chased me down like a son of a bitch. He
damn sure did.
And he wouldn't quit. And I literally was running for my life. I'm like, I got it. Like, I get it. Like, and then I had to go down afterwards. I'm like, Barry, I'm sorry. But he was chasing me and ready to just start taking swings.
Yep.
So,
and the caution didn't come out till later on because I remember my uncle said, oh, check up, check up. I said, I see it. I said, I reckon. He's like, come on, come on. And I like keyed up a half a lap later. I said, no, they're still wrecking. Yeah, he's like, well, the caution ain't out. I said, don't worry. They're still wrecking.
Yeah, they're still wrecking.
And it ended up in like, what, turn one or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was I was going faster trying to get to pit road than I was actually racing. but again, that was 2018. We're going to come back out of this break. We're going to finish off part two. This thing has definitely turned into a long.
This is part two.
Well, I'm saying, but just in general.
Part two.
Yeah. Still is a long episode. So thank you for joining us on tap, and we'll see you outside the break. All right. We're back on tap for the final segment of part two of whatever it was.
2019, 2020.
Yep. We're in the final stretch here.
Right. Talking. That's where we're at, right? 2019, 2020.
Yeah. We're in 2019.
Yeah.
2019 really, really much, not much to talk about.
Other 2019 than, was a good year for me racing. Yeah.
What'd you do?
Well, I took over the 38 truck.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Clay started with it, I will say.
Yep.
And I don't know what's going on, but Andy's like, "Hey, Brian, will you drive it sometime?" And then also Billy ventured out and got late model.
All right.
And it was a older late model. It was a
was 19 Southern National.
Or? It was also Southern National. Gotcha. Yep. We did all that. So that means we won March 2nd in the late model over Tommy. I mean, and even over Nick. Actually, Nick Sanchez finished second. Tommy finished third. I mean, car counts for. We brought every division up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything.
Car counts were great.
Yep.
And then we won that. And then in August, the double down, we won there. Finished second in the Yarborough at the Sun Fund, which was the back-to-back weekend. Should have won that. But, yeah, Andy asked me to drive the 38 truck, which I was honored to do. Following your footsteps was one thing. But Terry, obviously, was in a whole other thing. Yeah. And then, like, Clay, I don't know if, like, Clay tried to reinvent the wheel on the thing, which I get that. Trust me. I've done that plenty of times. When you take over the wheel of somebody that's been driving it, you like, well, I'm accustomed to doing this. And you change a lot of things. But that particular weekend, I just said, let's roll with it, like how it is. And right. David Gooding, yep. Which knows that truck like the back of his hand,
of
right?
Of course, yeah.
He's like, well, hey, thanks for inviting me in. And he set the bar, and he said he had some recommendations on the springs, this and that. And we were able to win the first one. And then the very next week, lo and behold, about like Lee Pulley and Matt Cox brought out the 51 truck. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. Like, I'm running this truck. I got to win, and I got to go against Juggernauts once again. But we finished second to Matt, and we were pretty close to him. And that was the only time I drove it until the November race, which I was still with Billy in the late model and Andy. And, you know, I look back at that particular year, and I kind of get a little bit upset because I was always, obviously, as a driver, wanting to win the 400, wanting to win the Icebreaker or the marquee events, the Sun Fun. Which we were second in the Sun Fund, Yarborough, that same year in 2019. Second in the Icebreaker to Pulliam in 2017. And I thought we had the 400 won in 2016, but broken axle. And then, even though it was a super truck race, which at that time, I think Cocklemire ended up winning it. It was 24, 25 super trucks.
Yeah.
It was a big event in itself.
Yep.
And then we just put that truck, like, I mean, that's my fault. And I hope Andy don't hold it against me. Where I said, I'm sorry, I'm focused on late model. We didn't even practice it. Right. We're not in qualified. And I think the fuel cap was actually off. And the fuel was dumping on the right rear tire. And we still qualified.
That was my fault.
Yeah. Because we never took it seriously. And it's my fault. I mean, for my fault for not taking it seriously. And we qualified like 10th. And then, like, the race is going on. And I was like, you know what? We might actually win this race, guys. I'm sorry. Because right. I saw everybody driving around me. And they were, like, hanging out sideways. And it was a 100-lap race. And, Yeah, we got up to second, and we were running Cockemire down, and we ran out of tire a little bit. I think I set my gap way too far back. We didn't get a caution I was hoping for. And then Paragon trucks were really good at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And they were motoring down the straightaway. Pete Knight was driving the one. Dusty Garris was in. He was in the race. Cocklemire was in the race. I don't think Tanner was in it. He may or not been. But yeah, it took a lot of effort to pass them guys because they were motoring down the straightaway with Jeremy Upchurch.
Right.
And I've driven a late model with Jeremy Upchurch building a motor before. And I mean, that's hard. I mean, he provides great power.
Right.
But yeah, that was my year in 2019.
So you got busy though for a little while. You went from
nothing,
not having nothing, yeah, to all of a sudden late models, trucks.
Yeah, it was a good year for me. I mean, it stressed me out. Like I was down to 130 something. Like double down weekend in Southern Nashville was one thing in itself. Like we in one of them races, and still working. Like we were doing all the events still at the track, right? I mean, we still had the Nopies. We still had the fair. We still had Wheels of Destruction. We tried to keep it going, which it wasn't a thing anymore, but we still tried to keep it going.
Yeah, which we're trying to bring that back here, but that's a whole another conversation. But yeah, so 2019, good year, but then 2020 comes up. And 2020, obviously in the world, became tough. COVID hits and...
COVID-19 hit. Yeah.
So COVID hits, but even before that, right? Was it before it?
March of something's when COVID was it March of 2020? I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember. Nothing right now. But
I just know that you knew a bit of advice that I didn't know till later on.
Which part?
About Myrtle Beach Speedway.
Oh no! Yeah. So I'm sure I remember because David and I we put in a French drain because we got laid off for a while there. Remember where we just didn't exist, so we were at home. So my neighbor and I put a French drain in. But I'm trying to remember, because when we found out that the racetrack was going to close, is what I'm getting at. And we had built the schedule, like you had already like preset it. And that was when Bob at that time was going to try to get the Denny Hamlin shootout. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Like that was a big thing. He wanted to get the Denny Hamlin shootout and have that race. So we built the schedule and then we kept calling him, said, hey, schedule's out there. And he kept, you know, what's the old saying? Poo-pooing us, the whole time. Like, oh, let's just wait.
Misdirecting. A lot of misdirecting.
Yeah. So, but we had already been knowing that. I was like, man. And that was also when, probably about, I'll call it what, 6 months before that, somebody showed up and, did a walkthrough of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, in walkthroughs of the facility, because Bob was trying to sell the place from day one. Like, he didn't care. So,
which I think maybe that started because it was the hurricane relief or some kind of storm relief where it became a facility to park your cars.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that
and
was
a... that really, like, got the dollar signs turning in his head, I think.
Yeah, we made it. He made a ton of money on an insurance deal during one of the hurricanes, and what did we get? Four cars? Oh, that was the 400. It was during the 400.
Because we thought we might have to cancel the whole thing.
Yeah, we thought we were going to cancel the 400. And then we ended up making, he made a ton of money and still had the 400.
Yeah.
But again, that
but
was.
But I think good. That was a time where he's like, you know what? Maybe it's more profit into this than racing.
So this guy shows up and Bob calls and said, I'm flying in. He flew in for a day and walked this guy around. And I knew then, I was like, man, this is not good. Because usually he'd say, hey, go walk this guy around and show him the property. But this seemed real to him, to the point where he needed to be here for it. So he came in for a day and then flew out. And
which at that time was unlike Bob.
Yeah.
Like he was kind of checked out.
Yeah, he never showed up. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he showed up for one thing and then one thing only. Yeah. And then after he left and then... we got the schedule and we kept going through stuff and kept sending it and got nowhere with it. Then I finally got a call and he's like, well, let's talk about the schedule. Why don't you come up here to Charlotte. We'll go through it. And, myself and Jason Barnes, the CFO, I guess his title was at the time.
Accountant and one hell of a spreadsheet guy.
Oh, spreadsheets are amazing.
You will not, no one will ever learn Excel as good as Jason Barnes.
If I could get him to make me a DraftKings Excel spreadsheet, it would be nice. Awesome. But
also a very avid basketball fan.
Oh, yeah.
It was good.
But so I ended up in a room and the first words out of Bob's mouth were, remember that guy that came the other day? And I was like, oh, here we go. Now I got it.
Yep.
So as soon as that happened, I immediately knew that Myrtle Beach was no longer. And the sale started working at that point. Well, it had been working before that. But the sale started working from then on. And it was just nonstop. Like, they had to go through just like I did with the fair, they had to go through all the county stuff. Yep. And get the re-permitting, because we were set to be a amusement, something amusement. They had to get it rezoned to be commercial, high resident, whatever. So they were going through all that, and it was just a nonstop battle. And then it got to a point where he said, all right, the date is this time. And then that date then stretched to this time, and then that date stretched to this time. Well, then you and I, as soon as I left, being told that basically we were unemployed as of June 30th, I think was the date, we were going to be employed, unemployed June 30th. I called the kids on the way home and talked to Jacqueline and said, hey, you know, what the hell we do now? Like, what's your plans? And then Jamie Weatherford at that time had already reached out to us and, like, wanted us to help here at Florence with Charlie. And we just didn't have the time. We were so busy with Florence or Myrtle that we couldn't help Florence. Right. And we'd never even been up here.
Right.
And so then that happens. And then I was like, all right, what are we going to do now? And I asked the kids, I said, what do you guys want to do? And they said, well, they want to keep racing. So then I went to Jamie's conversation, and then that led to talking to Charlie, and came up with a way to make the purchase work
out.
Which
I will say, like, so I was up here a couple of times before helping Glinsky and the family. And Glinsky he had some success in the Fall Classic, because they would always run the Fall Classic before the Myrtle Beach 400, 250, whatever it was on a weekend. And Glinsky had success. And then Jamie actually took us out to a piece of property.
Yeah.
And we considered starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Like, oh, when do we get grandstands? Do we use Jersey beers, whatever? And I remember calling you one night. It was late. Obviously, I was into beers. You were into beers.
So,
and I said, why don't we just take over Florence?
Yeah.
Like, it's there.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah. I said, why don't we just take over Florence?
Yep. Yeah, because we did. Brian and I went to a piece of property in Darlington. Not too far.
It was off
of
151.
Yeah, it was right not too far from the big track. And we walked the property, but we started doing the math. It was like, by the time you get the
I think Neff was with us, because we said, maybe it's called Flow Darlington. Remember? Flowington or something.
Right.
We made a variance of it. And we were considering starting from scratch. It was, I forgot what the guy was.
It would have been a cool
place. It was like a sketchy bar. Jamie said, it's a sketchy bar across the street. And now I forgot what it was that we were looking at. But it was a great piece of property.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, we knew that, let's just date back to our days at Myrtle Beach, we knew the concrete road from the crossover gate to the pit gate was $6,000 in concrete. In Nassau, it was $18,000 at Myrtle Beach.
Right.
So we're like, oh, Jesus.
Yep.
How much is that going to cost?
Yeah, so to your point, you did call and say, like, let's just go take over a facility that already exists.
Yep.
And then we can just better it. And at that time, Charlie, he said it 100 times. Brian was sitting here with us when we sat at the table at the house, and he had keys everywhere. And he's like, I'm 83 years old.
Yep.
I'm tired. I can't do it no more.
Yep.
And
we got to touch on, like, we didn't do it alone.
No, Savannah was here.
Yep.
And Savannah was a big part of it. And I think the biggest problem that we had when we went into this is that we all came in with we still have the idea of we all need to benefit from this, but, it's so hard. Like, Justin, one of Justin's, biggest, statements I've ever heard from him is that the worst ship God ever made is a partnership, because it's so hard to run a business, and do it equally with the same intent. You and I can do it, like, together, because we have the same brain when it comes to the racing side. We've been doing it for so long, and then it just got to the point where it was like
I think we just value, like, workload over, like, financial load,
right?
And we can, like, even off on that, which I just knew at that point, like, the financial load was coming from one way.
Yeah,
and I felt like I was non-existent.
Yep.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, you were doing your part. She was doing a lot of it. And I mean, the first event was good. And I just got to the point of, like, you know what? Maybe I should check out. I don't know. Like, and I was also, I'm not going to lie here, I was very butthurt and emotionally hurt about Myrtle Beach Two-Way closing.
Oh, of course.
Like, your passion for so many years since birth was at Myrtle Beach Two-Way.
Yep.
Which, right. How do I continue that on?
Yeah. Which I will say that the one thing that, sucks on all of it, when we got started, like, we all were, we had shots at Buffalo Wild Wings, is that for her, her one scare was to lose friends.
Yeah.
And that's where when it became that situation, it was good for all of us to just say, all right, like, yep. we got to separate and maybe we'll come back together. And we did. But she was a pivotal role in this because without her, we wouldn't have been able to start
it. Not at all.
You know, so we hate that she's not here, but she was definitely a huge part of this. And there's just, again, back to the roller coaster ride of Myrtle Beach Speedway closing. What does that mean? Florence starts. There's so much work to do here. As far as grandstands and the infield and the car count.
Like, for me, too, it was all when it set the points where, like, when Bob said that, and, you told me the news at Buffalo Wild Wings and Carolina Forest, where, like, you didn't believe it was real. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because we heard this for years. Like, me as a fan, like, being at Myrtle Beach all the time, oh, yeah, Myrtle Beach is always closing now. And then once you said that, I was like, okay, cool. Well, Bob is done. Somebody else will buy it.
Yep.
Somebody will take it over. And I was just sitting there, and I mean, we came over here, and I was busting my ass. But I was like, ah, man, I feel like Myrtle Beach is still there. Because you see there is just a property, and nothing changed for how long?
Right.
For the longest time. So I was just hopeful for that, and it never came to fruition.
Yeah. The unfortunate part was, I think you and I both saw the writing on the wall that Bob was going to sell the place.
Yeah.
Like, so there was no fixing that. And then when he sold it to a property management company, they weren't going to make it a racetrack. Like, if you would have sold it to a racer, and actually, so I'll tell you, I told him, and Brian knows this, is that when he told me that he was going to close it, I said, is there any chance, because I kind of had the same concept of here, I said, is there any chance, like, that I could buy it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what can I do to try to take this away? And he was, I mean, the money at that time, and it's
I changed. Also realized that we brought up Junior's name a lot. Andy Clemens even called in one time about Junior. Maybe possibly buying the facility. Yeah.
But the money that at that time, and I don't know what it ended up selling for, but the money at that time, there was no way that all of our racers could have combined and put it together that made sense.
So, that was prime real estate in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah. So, and it's still the same way. Like, they're building houses constantly.
And they're already moved in.
Yeah. So, so Myrtle Beach closes. I still say, I tell people all the time, is that I still think it's divine intervention. I hate it. My family and I still live 2 minutes from the racetrack. I loved Myrtle Beach Speedway. I put a lot of heart and soul into Myrtle Beach Speedway. Because Bob was going to sell it, end of day. So if it wasn't for the fact that he sold it at the time he sold it, and then this worked itself out to get Florence Motor Speedway, the two of them are gone.
Yep.
So now we've lost two racetracks because I still say that one of the craziest things I think of all of this is that so Charlie, we were here, we met him down in the office or in his house, and talked about the whole deal. We signed the deal, had our shots at Buffalo Wild Wings, but then we signed the deal July 6th, and he died August 1st, my birthday.
Yep.
And he dies August 1st, so he didn't even get a chance to see, and like even just the pictures sitting in the background of a full car count.
Yeah, we had a race at Myrtle at that time.
Yeah.
The same day. Friday. Yeah.
Yep.
You're on the wall.
Was it our last race?
Nah, I think last.
No, we are August 15th.
Yeah.
August 15th.
I remember you on the wall. It was like a Friday of practice or something.
Yep.
And you came and told the news like, Jesus, what? Really? Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. He texted Savannah and said, if they don't get me out of here, I'm going to die. Yeah. That was during COVID. Like, I mean, it was a wild time with COVID and all that stuff going on. But yeah, no, he was a racer at heart, just like we are. And that's where, you know, I'm glad that we were able to revive what was going on.
But, like, the stories that we talked about Myrtle and also at Florence, I don't understand. Like, the crowd attendance and the support in the infield. Like, how many cars do we have? How many fans do we have on the first race at Myrtle in 2012?
No,
when it was under new ownership.
Yep.
In the first race here, that September race.
Yep.
Under new. Did the racing falter?
No.
I don't think so.
Right.
Like, I get it. It's new, whatever, but it's still the same racing.
Right.
It's exciting. It's exhilarating. I mean, not still come out?
I think what you and I, you mentioned it last episode, was I think what we're missing is why aren't you coming out? If everyone could tell us why they're not coming, yep. then we could fix, like, so are we against the South Carolina game? Are we against the Clemson right. game? Are we against the, like, why are you not coming?
Well, even the last race at Myrtle, I mean, that August race, I mean, they came out. The crowd attendance looked great.
Yeah.
But where were you guys at the whole time?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, everyone's like, oh, my God,
that's
I can't.
Probably why it's closing now.
Yeah, I can't believe it's going away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're sentimental now, but that's that yeah. contributes to why it's closing now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I hate to be an ass here, but that's the truth.
No, I get it. And end of day, if I think Brian and I both agreed, if we could do what we love Florence Motor Speedway, but if we could have done exactly what we're doing right now at Myrtle Beach Speedway, would be the greatest.
Yeah.
But
yep.
Because Myrtle was so cool to drive.
But that's why we're getting animated. And we're frustrated because we did the same thing.
Oh yeah.
And it just like I mean, we had no idea. We were yeah. unbeknownst
but,
to it.
But the nice thing now is that we make those decisions.
Yeah, and we could say this.
Yeah. So we're here to because we're not going to get into the numbers here, but Brian, I'll tell you that I'm surprised we've made it this long.
Yeah.
So but it's all a matter of Brian and I just head down and every day we wake up, how can we make it better? How can we get, because we do not want to see this happen again with Florence Motor Speedway. So we're trying to continue that, but what we need is not again, we're not telling you have to come race with us. We're just asking that if you're available, we'd love to have you. And fans.
I'll put it in the simplest terms for the racers. And I'm probably going to say this, and other tracks or other series will probably start doing this. But it's the simplest things that we did back at Myrtle that shows you how we care about it so much more than anybody else. The whole code matching with Hoosier tires, whether it's a thing or not, we've done this for how many years?
Oh, years. Since Myrtle.
Yeah. And we continually do that. And it's just two of us doing it week right. in, week out.
Right.
So, I mean, and you go to these stories and hear these tracks. Like, well, I didn't run competitive because I got a bad code. Well, guess what? When you come to Florence and when you came to Myrtle Beach, that was not an equation. Right.
Yeah. So, so the sad part happened, like I said, Myrtle Beach. That was just a weird deal. I actually, kind of a funny part was my favorite part was the night that we closed Myrtle Beach, the last race, and Bob left early. Because he could give two shits.
It was a two-day deal because we got the late model race in, which, by the way, I was running for Kendall. I feel like I could have done better than we did. Yarbrough won that race over Will Burns. And then we came back on Sunday for the Chargers, mini cups, mini socks, and something else. It was like a two-day deal. But, yeah, it was
But Bob left early because he could care less that it was closing. And then I got in trouble, which – I was no longer being paid, so it wasn't a big deal. But I got in trouble because people started just ransacking the place.
Yeah.
It was like Chicago in the
like the mid-20s. Looters came out.
Dude, like people. Kendall has the menu board in his shop. Still, there were people like digging up the front stretch. There was people with screw guns, and they're just like taking stuff down. And Bob calls. He's like, "What's happening out there?" I said, "Ah." So I was sitting on the front stretch wall drinking a beer.
Because I'm officially unemployed.
Yeah, so I don't know what's happening. But I'm telling you that the people are taking some shit.
They were.
But Jesus. He showed up and he's like trying to stop people. I'm like, you just stop this? Yep. Like, for what? Just go ahead and let it happen, man. They deserve to take home a little bit of...
Even when the transition happened, like, oh, you know what? I'm going to charge you a fucking... Sorry.
Yeah, I got so many beeps to put up.
Yeah, how much for this? And then years later, you can have it. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is what it is. Myrtle Beach Speedway is gone. We hate it. We love Florence Motor Speedway. We love being on tap here. And I think we've kind of run the gamut. That's about as far as we can go. We went way back in the day.
We said what we want to say, but there's so much more content that we can have.
So we could have part three and part four.
So if you have a story, like feel free to share it with us in person. I promise you, we can go hours and hours on end.
Yeah, we're not done.
I feel like we have.
Yeah, oh, we definitely have. That's why we got
this is what we're only showing.
Yeah. So thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for being a supporter of Myrtle Beach Speedway. Thank you for being a supporter of Florence Motor Speedway. Understand that Brian and I are here for one intent and one intent only is to continue to make racing great, as well as the broadcasting side. That's why we're doing this, is that we want to continue to make what you see and what you're tuning into better and better every time. I think Joe and Brian put it on our new trailer wrap. They put it best. We're racers, four racers.
Four racers by racers.
Yeah, yep. Four racers by racers. Sorry. Yep. So, you know, we're just going to continue to try to give you guys the best stuff we can. Wanted to have a chance. We didn't have anything to talk about today, but I feel like we've came up with plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
So we thank you for joining us. Part two, episode 12, technically. And we'll see you next week on tap.